I'm going to begin this morning with two readings. The first one is a scripture reading. It's relatively brief. It comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, and I've made a couple of changes in terms of pronouns in this to make it a little more inclusive. Peter said, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships God and does what is right is acceptable to God." We have blessing and understanding through reading of those words. I also want to share with you a reading from Ibram X. Kendi, his book, How to Be Anti-Racist, in which he says, "But for all of that life-shaping power, race is a mirage which doesn't lessen its force. We are what we see ourselves as, whether what we see exists or not. We are what people see us as, whether what they see exists or not. What people see in themselves and others has meaning and manifests itself in ideas and actions and policies, even if what they're seeing is an illusion. Race is a mirage, but one that we do well to see, while never forgetting it is a mirage. Never forgetting that it's the powerful light of racist power that makes the mirage."
Here, folks, Lane saying that Eve bit the apple, so women are cursed. And the curse of Ham and the mark of Cain, and that's supposed to justify, you know. So according to, you know, some people using the Bible, apparently only white men are saved. So we're worthy. Anyway, this song is called The Mark of Cain, and it's from the musical Children of Eden, which was the music was written by Stephen Schwartz, and it was produced in 1998. Stephen Schwartz, I'm a musical theater person, love him. He did, like, wrote the music for Pippin and Godspell, and Pippin especially. I just love Pippin. He did Wicked, but I just started Wicked. but anyway, Children of Eden, there's actually a song called The Mark of Cain, so I'm going to give it a go. The voice you hear first is God the Father, and then at the end you hear the storytellers. Thank you. is hell, and the wild man's blue, and the seeds of the tree of knowledge grow, and you know the things now you wish you didn't know. In the way.
My message this morning is entitled Racism's Religious Cover. Race plays a profound role in all aspects of life in the United States. When you stop to think about it, that is absolutely astounding, considering that race, at least biologically speaking, doesn't actually exist. You see, for hundreds of years, scientists assumed that race was a biological reality because people look different to the naked eye, different skin color, different hair texture, different facial structure. So there must be races. But literally, hundreds of scientific studies in the last 40-some years have demonstrated there is no significant difference between human beings, regardless of the differences in skin color, hair, and facial structure. Genetically, we're all the same. Yet, we live in a nation, a world, where we not only use slight cosmetic differences to marginalize, abuse, and take advantage of people, but in extreme cases, we use it as a reason to kill them. It is imbecilic behavior that should be thwarted by the scientific facts about race. But it is not. It makes me wonder if evolution quit working at some time, because we certainly haven't seemed to evolve on this issue very much. What it really makes me wonder is, how is there so much support for this kind of thing? We saw it front and center this past week at the Montgomery Riverfront Brawl. It makes me ask myself, what piece of our society continues to push and support such a backwards way of thinking? Well, this may not be the answer, but I think that this is one of the answers. About 10 years ago, analysis led by Wendy Wood, who's Provost Professor of Psychology and Business at both USC College and USC Marshall School of Business. The study found a positive correlation between religiosity and racial bias. But is religion really the problem here, or maybe is it something else? Well, the analysis looked at data from 55 different studies on religion and racism in America, dating all the way back to the Civil Rights Act. And combined, the studies included more than 22,000 participants, mostly white and Protestant. And Protestants are actually pretty important to note here, because much of the current support for our racially biased government comes from the more conservative evangelical movement, not the Protestant movement. So, whatever the analysis discovers about white Protestants is likely even more true about white evangelicals. As the study reports, and I'm going to read just a paragraph here, it does get slightly thick, and I'll try to keep it slow so we can all follow along pretty well. It says, a meta-analytic review of past research evaluated the link between religiosity and racism in the United States since the Civil Rights Act. Religious racism partly reflects intergroup dynamics. That is, a strong religious in-group identity was associated with degradation of racial outgroups. Other races might be treated as outgroups because religion is practiced largely within race, because training in a religious in-group identity promotes general ethnocentrism, and because different others appear to be in competition for resources. And in addition, religious racism is tied to basic life values of social conformity and respect for tradition. The authors fail to find that racial tolerance arises from humanitarian values consistent with the idea that religious humanitarianism is expressed to in-group members rather than out-group. Only religious agnostics were racially tolerant. End quote. So the analysis did not focus on how the racism-religion connection plays out in churches and religions. And religions predominantly populated by people of color, nor did it look at non-Judeo-Christian religions, how that affects the adherence of racial attitudes. But the authors of the study did hypothesize that the analysis probably would prove true across world religions. And recognize here that the study did not find that religion causes racism. Its finding says that religion is fertile soil for those who have tendencies towards racism. Progressive Christian author Anne Lamont puts it this way: you can't safely assume that you created God in your own image, and it turns out God hates all the same people you do. Or as I like to say, if your religion doesn't challenge you to care for people you might otherwise be dismissive of, and instead reinforces your negative feelings about them, you don't have a religion. You have a formalized structure for your institutionalizing your biases. Basically, when religion isn't practiced with intelligence and compassion, it can easily be used as an authoritative confirmation for our biases. In churches that eschew the humanist perspective of critical thinking and innate values of individuals, perverting information to suit personal prejudices is just far too easy. And add to it the dogmatic environment of most churches, and it can be the perfect petri dish for growing cultures of racism. Putting racism into the hands of God also makes life easier when you're confronted with social injustices. You can blame a group's oppression on the retribution of an angry God or some inherent deficiency. Then you not only have no responsibility in it, but you'd be foolish to go against God. Not only that, you don't have to feel bad about the privileges that are being given to you when you choose to not extend those same privileges to people who've already been, in your mind, judged by God. The harsh reality of race and religion in America is that religion is a cover for racism. We all like to think that the idea that separate but equal is something from a bygone era. That segregated lunch counters, race-divided bathrooms, and signs reading whites only are concepts that died out in America decades ago, except they didn't. A public religion research institute survey found that 10% of Americans believe business owners should be able to refuse to serve black people if they see that as a violation of their religious beliefs. And men were slightly more likely to agree than women, and Catholics slightly more than Protestants. Now, 10% of the population may not seem like a lot, but that calculates out to be 32 million people in America who believe that businesses should be able to practice racism on religious reasons. It also points to how racism and the concept of segregation are sadly still alive and well some 50 years after the end of Jim Crow. Yeah, in the past 5 decades since the peak of the civil rights movement, some of the racial policies have changed. For example, workplace discrimination has been outlawed, but let's never forget that that doesn't mean prejudice has disappeared. It turns out that it is quite the opposite. The reality is that racial discrimination is now being touted as religious freedom. And just as bad, the Trump era made many racists feel all too comfortable would be with publicly expressing their racism without feeling the need for anonymity as they may have in the past. Like I said, if your religion doesn't challenge you to care for people you might otherwise be dismissive of, and instead reinforces your negative feelings about them, you do not have a religion. You have a formalized structure for institutionalizing your biases. You can wrap the law around it any way you want. You can call it religious freedom, freedom of speech, whatever you want. No matter what you call it, it remains morally repugnant and devoid of any God that I ever care to acknowledge. There is no space, no space in a healthy spiritual community or in life for racism, or for that matter, anything that pits one group of people against another. That kind of thinking, that kind of acting stands over and against everything that can grow a person or a community spiritually. That kind of thinking plays to the lowest form of human pettiness and uses religion as a weapon rather than a bomb. It is a bastardization of spirituality and must be actively resisted at every turn and cast out like the demon that it is. It doesn't mean that we stop seeking to care for those who practice it. That would put us in a similar place of denying people for being different than us. But it does mean not sitting silently by as it's being practiced. It does mean actively resisting it in our churches and in our communities. We must call it out when we see it being done in the name of God. We must insist that our representatives stop supporting it with discriminating religious freedom laws and racially divided voting maps. We must persist in standing up to hate at every turn and in every and instead extend grace and acceptance and love. Not just for the sake of our nation or for the sake of those who are the target of it, but for the health of our own spiritual life as well. It is time for racism's religious cover to end.
Okay, this song is Glory. It was written for the film Selma, if you saw that, directed by the absolutely brilliant Ava DuVernay. This song, won a Grammy, written and performed by John Legend and rapper, poet, actor, Common. And then did my best to do both their parts. And what really makes the song work is a gospel choir in the background. We don't have that. maybe you'll hear it a little bit as the song goes. One day, when the glory comes, it'll be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure.
Thank you.
has been. As we attempt to follow the teachings of Jesus, which encourage us to love all people, we recognize that our lives are not as welcoming as they could be. We do wish to love everyone, and we do try to love everyone, but it's just a whole lot easier to love some people compared to others. We admit that the people that tend to be easier to love also tend to be people who look a whole lot like us. May we open our hearts and minds that we might see a reflection of love in all people. And in that, may we see that all people look a whole lot like us. Let us be forever more open to that kind of inclusivity. Let us learn to love with hearts wide open. Let us be inspired to live lives that include everyone equally. Let us continue to grow to be a people who exclude no one for no reason. Not for the color of their skin, their sex or sexuality, the amount of money in their bank account, the job they hold, the religion they follow, or the country in which they were born. And when we don't, may we recognize it, correct it, and continue to learn to love with hearts wide open. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet. Thank you.